And this is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Later on, Liberato restaurant tries to silence workers with federal racketeering RICO suit.
But first,
March 25th,
the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire was one of the deadliest fires in U.S. history, which happens to have taken place at one of the buildings of NYU. It wasn't NYU then. It was a factory where young immigrant workers were locked in. The means of egress were locked. It caused the deaths of 146 garment workers, 123 young women and 23 men, and an NYU student who is now deceased, Sophia Henderson Holmes, wrote this tribute to recognize the loss of life of these young immigrant, essentially children, girls, young women that lost their lives in the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire. Let's listen.
From bareness to fullness, flowers do bloom, whenever, however, spring enters a room. Oh, whenever, however, spring enters a room. March 25th, 1911. At the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, a fire claimed the lives of 146 people, mostly women, mostly children, in the plume of their lives, in the room of their lives, begging for spring, toiling and begging for spring. And in my head, as I read the history, afraid to touch the pictures, I imagined the room. I imagined the women, dressed in pale blues and pinks, some without heads or arms, sitting, some without legs or waists, hovering, hundreds of flowering girls, tucking spring into sleeves, tucking and tugging at spring to stay alive. And so, a shirtwaist for spring, a dress with a mannish collar, blousing over breasts, blousing over sweat, tapering to fit a female waist, tapering to fit a female breath, sheer silk, cotton, linen, hand-done pleats, hands done in by pleats, hands done in by darts and lace, colors of spring, pale blues, pale pinks, yellows, magentas, lavender, peach, secret thoughts of spring, falling in love under a full moon, forever young, with money enough to buy a flower or two, time enough to smell it. Yes, from bareness to fullness, a flower will bloom, anytime, every time spring enters a room. And here, near these machines, hundreds of flowering girls. Shirtwaist Factory Room, 1911. Crowded, hard, fast, too fast, closed windows, locked doors, smell of wet, of wishes being cut to bits, needle stabs, electric shocks, miscarriages over silk, fading paisley, fading magenta, falling in love will get you fired. Forever old, never fast enough, buying flowers is wasteful, so hurry, hurry, grind your teeth and soul, $6 a week sent to grandfather, $4 a week sent to Aunt Ruth, sleep over the machine and you're done for, way before you open your eyes, ma'am, madam, miss, Mrs. Mother, girlie, hundreds of flowering green spring girls in rows, waiting with needles in hands for spring to show. The strike the year before, and they shouted, open the doors, unwire the windows, more air, more stairs, more quiet time, more fire escapes, and to the ground, damn you, and more toilets, more time to be sick, more time to be well, and remove the fear, and slow it down, for God's sake, slow it all down. It's spring, they shouted. Hundreds of flowering girls shouted, for spring to hurry, hurry, and enter their world. And Triangle won a half day, but the doors remained locked, windows remained wired, no extra air, no extra quiet time or sick time. The fear stayed, nothing slowed, and God watched. Hundreds of flowering girls twirl, hundreds of flowering girls willow and twirl. March 25th, smoke, smoke, stopping the machines, run to wired windows, run to locked doors, run to the one and only fire escape. Everyone run to the air. Hundreds of flowering girls. Smoke, stopping eyes, stopping hearts, stopping worlds. Elevator, move faster. Elevator, you are a machine managed by a human being. Move faster. Come on, faster. Carry all the flowering girls. Carry all the sweet, sweet orchid girls. Fire, catching bouquets of girls in a corner. Tall, long-stemmed lilies on fire in a corner. From bloom to ashes in a corner. Smell them in the rain. Hundreds of tulip girls. On a window ledge, pliés for life. On a window ledge, lovely ribboned young ladies on their tiptoes, twirling, twirling, an arabesque for life. Hundreds of flowering girls, smell them in the rain. Hundreds of jasmine girls. The ladders were too short. The hoses were too short. The men holding the nets were not gods, only men who never caught or trained to catch falling bodies or falling stars or hundreds of flowering girls, hundreds of carnation bud girls. And the girls were not angels, but girls jumping, not goddesses flying or hovering. They smashed. They broke into large pieces. Smell them in the rain. And the sidewalks opened in shame to meet the flowering girls. The sidewalks opened in such horrible shame to cradle the remains of violets. And the gutters bled for hours, choking on bones, shoes, buttons, ribbons, holy sewing needles. The gutters bled for hours, all the colors of spring, the cool magenta of delicate spring. And the fire ate the locked doors and the wired windows, ate the fast machines in their narrow rooms, ate the lace and hand-done pleats, the silk, the cotton, the linen, the crisp $6 a week, the eternal buzz of someone else's dreams, nightmares and screams of quiet girls, loud skull-cracking noises from shy girls. Smell them in the rain, the lilacs, daffodils in the rain. Spring, over 78 years later. Triangles now part of a university, with offices and polished intellect, arched, unwired windows, hydraulically controlled and unlocked doors, air conditioning, swivel chairs, marble floors, and fire alarms. But oh, hundreds of flowering girls still roam, hundreds of blushing spring girls still roam. 80 years later, in the paint, in the chrome, in the swivel of chairs, hundreds of blossoms twirling in the air, daring to descend if ever, oh ever, the fire comes again. Yes, like lead they will drop if ever, oh ever, the fire comes again to hundreds of flowering girls. Smell them in the rain, iris, peonies, magnolias, bending for the rain.
Sophia Henderson Holmes with stirring tribute to those 146 garment workers who lost their lives March 25th, 1911 at the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory. And now we turn our attention to perhaps one of the most egregious of all of the bosses, Liberato Restaurant, who was trying to silence its workers with, among other things, federal racketeering cases known as RICO suits. Liberato Restaurant workers have been joined by community supporters and workers' rights advocates such as the Grassroots Workers' Rights Organization, the Laundry Workers Center, and they continue to exercise their right to protest against wage and hour theft, sexual harassment, and verbal abuses despite Liberato Restaurant's attempts to silence them. Liberato, in an unprecedented action, has brought a racketeer-influenced and corruptions organizations known as RICO lawsuit, accusing the workers of extortion.
Liberato server Maggie Andres said, "We're here today demanding what we are owed. The RICO case is an attempt to silence us, and it will not work. Liberato stole our money, and we demand what we are owed by the law and better conditions in our workplace. Until that happens, we will be out here demanding justice for ourselves, our co-workers, and all exploited workers.
And we're delighted to have with us Omar Traveras, former Liberato worker, and Mahoma Lopez, Laundry Workers Center representative, who I should also say is the president of what was formerly known as, and they've organized and they've got a contract, the Hot and Crusty Bakery Struggle, and Rhea Julian, who is the worker's attorney. And thank you all for being here. Why don't we begin, because I know you're fresh out of court today, and before we even find out about all the conditions, Rhea, tell us about the other suit that you were in court around today, around defamation that Liberato is trying to use to silence the workers.
Well, thank you for having me, Mimi and Ken. Today we were in court, actually, defending Mama Lopez and other members of the Laundry Workers Center. Now, I turn the floor over to Malma and Omar shortly to talk about their involvement with the Laundry Workers Center and Liberato. But shortly after the Liberato workers brought the wage and hour lawsuit in federal court, the employers brought a suit against the Laundry Workers Center in state court, stating that the protest activities, because the workers, as they'll tell you, have been very active with a picket and various other activities raising consciousness about their struggle in the Bronx and about wage theft generally. So the suit that was brought by Liberato against Laundry Workers Center alleges that the protest activities were defamatory, et cetera. We, of course, argued that that this is protected First Amendment activity and that they haven't been harmed in any way.
Mahoma, why don't we start by talking with an ex-worker, somebody who left in disgust from Liberato, and ask him, if you would, what the conditions are and were at Liberato Restaurant, especially with regard to wage theft.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much, Ken. Thank you so much, Mimi, to give us the opportunity, like always, to be here. Yes, Omar is here, and we're going to ask him to explain that part.
Mi nombre es Omar Taveras.
My name is Omar Taveras.
Trabajé por más de 4 años en Liberato Restaurant en las dos restaurantes.
I work in Liberato Restaurant in both locations for almost for more of 4 years.
Las condiciones de trabajo eran muy malas. Los trabajadores lo trataban muy mal, física y verbalmente.
The conditions inside of the workplace are really bad. They treat us, they have a lot of verbal abuse and also physical abuse.
No daban el lunch time, no daban un tiempo para comer.
The company never provide a lunch time.
No pagaban overtime.
They never pay overtime.
Y no pagaban el sueldo mínimo.
And they don't pay minimum wage.
Trabajábamos más de 70 horas.
We work more of 70 hours.
At $3 por hora.
At like $3 per hour.
También si los trabajadores le exigían, le decían que querían reportar los taxes, yo les decían que no.
Additional to that, in many times, many of the workers, they approach the company. Basically, they want to report the taxes, and basically the company denied to do it.
Acosaban sexualmente a las meseras.
My female co-workers, they are victims of sexual harassment.
También a los deliveros lo trataban muy mal. Cuando yo trabajé ahí, ellos botaban más de eso, botaban casi siempre un delivero a la semana porque ellos le exigían como que le pagaran overtime y cosas. Cuando ellos hablaban, le decían, no, no podemos, ellos lo botaban.
So, basically, my experience working on Liberato Restaurant, I can see how the company fired in the majority of the times the delivery boys, because basically the delivery boys ask about the poor conditions, and in sometimes they ask, like, well, we deserve make more money or the amount you pay, and basically the company fired in retaliation.
By the way, it would be helpful to tell us a little bit about the restaurant. Who owns the restaurant?
So basically, the name of the owner is Manuel Antonio Liberato. He's from Dominican Republic. In this place, that's two locations, like we mentioned before. One is in Burnside, and the other one is in 183 and Jerome in the Bronx. This place is very famous because they prepare a really good food, very good chicken. Basically, the workers prepare a very delicious.
Yes, the workers.
The workers. You know, that's not only the case in Liberato Restaurant. The workers are treating really, really bad.
To follow up on what Malma said, it is a very well-known establishment in the Bronx. It is open to the Bronx community. I don't think it's so expensive as to be very, it's not prohibitively expensive. You know, when many of the wage theft cases that are a lot of the workers who are being exploited and not being paid minimum wage, many of them may work for chains, et cetera, that where there have been campaigns, or for very fancy restaurants. There are a number of cases that came out of Tribeca and other places that were fine dining places that weren't paying their employees properly. But there are also a lot of small businesses where people aren't being paid in accordance with the law. Does that mean that their employees can afford to live on less than our already low minimum wage? It effectively means that small business owners are asking low-wage workers, people who are really are at the bottom of our earning spectrum, so earning such little money that it's illegal, to subsidize their businesses. Whether or not Liberato is a big business, a small business, whether it's expensive or not, we believe that people need to be paid in accordance with the law. And I think that's what the workers, as you heard from Omar, are fighting for.
Omar, do you want to continue on that?
Yes, I want to add something about what Ria say. Additional to, according to the law, the minimum wage is also respect. Because even if it's the best case, the company pay minimum wage, also the workers deserve treating with respect. And not only in the conditions, they had to be, according to the law, a better conditions inside of the workplace. We are talking about they don't have a first kid aid just in case the workers or they cut or they have any accident. They don't have anything, you know, just in case of any emergency.
No first aid kits or anything?
Nothing. That's why the report of the worker says. Additional to that, the conditions right now in this winter, it's freezing cold in the basement. They had to work in freezing conditions. In the summer, the kitchen are really extremely hot. So they had to suffer in all this during his job or during performance the job. So basically, also additional to the minimum wage is more about respect. On this campaign, that's basically they are organizing just to push to have a positive changes.
Well, Rear, it looks like the owner has a lot of money, though, to spend on lawyers in terms of the several cases that he's brought against the workers. And I'm speaking now specifically about the RICO case. Could you explain that to us?
Yes. So in January, we had, as I said, this case has been going on. The wage and hour case that was filed in federal court was filed in June of last year. In January, Liberato Restaurants, the defendant in the FLSA case, they filed what you call some counterclaims. And among these claims was, really primarily, it was a racketeering case under RICO. And so in that case, in that counterclaim, they allege that the protest activities by the workers, and the workers are members of the, many of them are members of the, many of the workers who are plaintiffs in the FLSA action are members of the Laundry Worker Center. And there are other folks who are members of the Laundry Worker Center, like Bama Lopez, who are not workers at Liberato Restaurant. In any event, that counterclaim sued three of the workers at Liberato Restaurant, current and former workers, Maggie Andres Crescencio, who you mentioned earlier, or who was mentioned earlier in this broadcast, and two other workers who were former workers who we believe were retaliated against by being fired after they raised the issue of being paid in accordance with the law. So those three workers, as well as three members of the Laundry Workers Center, are defendants in this RICO suit. And the allegation from the employer is that the protest activity is an attempt to extort money from the employer. Now, we I think this is a fairly outrageous argument. Mimi had said it's unprecedented. It doesn't happen very often, but it has happened a couple times before where employers have tried to use you know, kind of put on their Alice in Wonderland sort of glasses. Maybe that's a mixed metaphor, but they are seeing the world upside down, let's just say, where...
Or we could certainly call it a Mad Hatter's Tea Party, perhaps.
There you go, yes. So where they're trying to recast using RICO and hide the fact that they have not paid in accordance with the law, and all of a sudden legitimate protest activity, protected First Amendment activity, activity protected by the National Labor Relations Act, as protected concerted activity of workers coming together to vindicate their rights, that's now being considered extortionate pressure. We have great faith that this claim will be seen for what it is, and we have been getting tremendous, I know the Laundry Worker Center and the workers have been getting tremendous support from the labor community, from the worker center community, and people see this as an attack on working people and the whole worker center community, who people who are working with, who are workers, precarious workers, are working with low wage and precarious workers.
Of course, yeah. It's rather perverse, since the federal racketeering statutes were really institutionalized and became statutory for very different purposes. And it's both creative on one hand and extraordinarily perverse that they would try to use it against workers exercising their First Amendment rights to association and expression of speech and their rights. Mahoma, one of the things that people should understand, the Laundry Workers Center has been a tremendous asset in supporting workers that have been in struggles such as this. Tell us a little bit about the development and the organizing of the Laundry Workers Center, and indeed how the workers at Liberato have come together, and let's dispel some myths that immigrant workers are reticent about organizing, because frankly, they have been in the forefront of the organizing around workers' rights for some time in this city.
So basically the main idea when the organization was founded, that's basically empower the workers, empower the community. We really believe the workers has to be in front of the struggle. So in this case, when the workers of Liberato approached the organization, just because they explained to us they are facing all these issues inside of the workplace, well, we explained, well, it's really important you be part of this process, the organizing process, because also you're going to see how facing the struggle directly. But not only that, you can see how a worker growing up in that way. So the Liberato workers, they are participate very active in the community, in different meetings, in different actions, having trainings, involved in the labor movement in many different ways. And I think it's a very good experience for them to learn, similar to me when I started leading the Hadden Crossing campaign. That's why the organization, Laundry Workers Center, we push a lot just basically to empower that part.
And Omar, what do you want to see happen now? Tell us about how the workers, notwithstanding the defamation suit, notwithstanding the RICO suit, are going to continue to be organizing.
El señor Manuel Liberato ha usado eso como para intimidar a los trabajadores.
The Mr. Antonio Liberato, just basically they are using that tactic as an intimidation, just to intimidate the workers.
Hay muchos compañeros que no tienen papeles y le dice como que lo va, le va a llamar a migración.
It's a many workers working there which they are victim of intimidation by the owner because they try to use immigration as a tool.
And I just want to say that you have weekly pickets, I believe, on Mondays at 4 o'clock at the restaurant. What's the address there?
That's two locations. Yes, we have every Monday, we have a picket line every Monday at 4 p.m. So the address of the location on the one of the Liberato restaurant is 1 West of 183 Street. That's in the Bronx. And the other location, that's 10 West of Burnside Avenue in the Bronx, too.
And Omar, how can people, aside from joining those picket lines, which we should do, how can they continue to help the workers? And then we're going to give the last word to Rhea about really where we go from here to win the struggle against Liberato. Omar?
¿Cómo es que la gente puede apoyarlos a ustedes en el picket line?
Pueden pasar por la 183 en Girón, en el primero west de la 183, apoyarnos a estar ahí, a estar ahí un rato protestando para que los empleados tengan una mejoría en su área de trabajo.
Basically, what Omar said, he invited the community just to help us in support, just basically be part of the protest, be part of the picket line, and enjoy the picket line just basically to continue fighting for better conditions of the workers.
And Rhea, you have the last word, but it's got to be short.
What people can do, you know, I would say stay tuned and support the workers, because we are moving forward in the court and we are confident that we're making the arguments that we need to make, and that it's a very clear issue that this is protected activity. And what is most important is the workers remain out there, that they, whether, you know, that they understand, which they do, that this is their right, and that they aren't intimidated. And I think we can all draw a lot of strength from them, actually. So I would say look to them and look to their tenacity, and we'll find a lot of it in ourselves.
And with people like Rhea Julian, there's no question that the RICO suit will be dismissed and the defamation suit, and we will wind up in the same situation that we have with Mahoma, who is now, as I said, he's the president of, it's no longer called the Hot and Crusty restaurant. You're the president of what's the new local and the...
They changed the name. Now the name of the Hot and Crusty, that's Brod.
B-R-O-D.
Yes.
You are the president. And how long were you folks involved in picketing and working to make sure that you finally got a contract, etc.?
Well, basically, after the company closed, basically to non-negotiate with the workers, so we stayed 52 days outside of the store, basically in a picketing, pushing the company to sign a contract with the workers.
And there's a new film coming out on that also, a new documentary, The Hand That Feeds. With the Cinema Village, is that going to be at?
Yes, that's a Cinema Village, and it's going to start in April 3.
These folks are so creative. Films, great lawyers, perseverance, one battle won, the Hot and Crusty battle. The next one, break the back of Liberato, get these workers a fair contract. Thank you, Omar, Mahama, Rhea. Thank
you.
This has been Building Bridges, always organize and support the workers' movements. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.